So we're continuing in the Come and See series. I already told you the name for this morning is Everything Sheepish. This chapter, John 10, is just full of stories about shepherds and sheep gates and everything you could imagine. And part of that is because Jesus keeps kind of cycling through the same stories. In fact, we'll see that much like his conversation with Nicodemus, he started short and sweet. The first five verses are the whole thing. But then they didn't understand, so he kept doing some more. What you need to know as background to this, however, is that the Hebrew scriptures are full of poetry and prophecy or preaching that also uses this imagery of sheep and shepherds. The 23rd Psalm is one great example of that. Another is Ezekiel, the prophet or the preacher. And in one of his chapters, Ezekiel 34, he was delivering a message from God, and it was directed towards the shepherds of Israel, that is the pastors and the priests, the leaders of Israel. And he was saying, woe to you, you are not being good shepherds. You're keeping all the food and the money and everything for yourself, and the people are starving. A good shepherd wouldn't do that. And Ezekiel kind of proclaims condemnation on the human leaders of his people. But then he speaks for God and says, God, however, is the good shepherd and will provide and will protect. And all those things we think of shepherds as doing, God says through Ezekiel, I'll do that for you. But there's also this component to that sermon from Ezekiel where God doesn't just say, I'm going to do that for you now and then you're back on your own. But God says, I will continue to be your shepherd and I will send you a shepherd. Much like David, who was the shepherd who became king, I'll send you another David. And Ezekiel's sermon, Ezekiel's prophecy, became one of the parts of the waiting for the Messiah. Partly the Messiah was waiting for another king like David, but another big part of it was waiting for another shepherd king like David. And so this imagery of sheep and shepherds keep cropping up all through the Hebrew scriptures. And so on this particular day when Jesus is teaching again to a crowd that included his disciples, his followers, maybe some seekers, maybe some of the religious leaders of Israel, he wasn't just teaching a lesson on sheep and shepherds. He was digging into the great story of his people that went back hundreds and hundreds of years that said, this is what God is like and this is what God has promised to do for his people, to provide, protect, to guard against evil, to rescue, to save, to feed, all that shepherds do. So I just wanted to mention that as backdrop, because what Jesus is going to do, he starts in teaching what sounds like maybe a Sunday school lesson. Well, this is what shepherds are like. This is what thieves are like. But then he shifts gears and he starts making claims for himself. Suddenly it's, I am this kind of shepherd and I am this kind of provider. And by the end of it, he's making claims to be the Messiah, to be one with God. So that's kind of a big overview of the whole thing. Here's some verses from Ezekiel. It starts with the woe, shepherds, you've been doing bad. And then God says, behold, I will find my sheep and send one like David. So I'm going to start in with verses 1 through 5 in John 10. There's kind of four sections. I'm repeating this for the confirmation students' sake because they have to take notes on this and they have to list the outline points, but maybe helpful for you too. There's going to be four sections to this. Jesus offers this metaphor of this is what sheep and shepherds are like. Then they don't get it, and so he just kind of circles back around two more times. So there's going to be the metaphor, there's going to be explanation number one, explanation number two, and then at the end he's going to make a claim to be the Messiah. So that's the four parts of what we're going to go through today. So in verses 1 through 5, there's this metaphor, and he starts in the third person. He starts out saying, the one who, you know, he who enters not by the gate, but climbs over the back fence, that's a robber and a thief. His intent is to steal or to hurt or to kill the sheep. But the one who comes in the gate that, by the way, is guarded by a watchman, the one who comes in the gate is a shepherd. Right? So he's differentiating between thieves and robbers and between shepherds. And in the course of this, he says a couple of things about shepherds. One, in contrast to thieves, shepherds are good, thieves are bad. Right? So a shepherd of the sheep, a true shepherd of the sheep, is good. And then he also has this part about when the sheep hear their shepherd's voice, they recognize it and they listen and they'll follow. I have seen demonstrate, you can look this up on YouTube and see it for yourself. But even today, shepherds will mass multiple flocks in one holding area. And when a given shepherd is ready to take his flock out, he has a whistle or a call or something, and just his sheep will come out because they recognize, just what Melissa was describing with her grandfather, they recognize their shepherd's voice and they'll follow that shepherd out. And Jesus is saying that's a second component of what the true shepherd is. It's trusted. That shepherd is trusted. The sheep know him and recognize him and trust him to follow, to be provided. So that's quick, right? Five verses. This is Jesus' lesson. Here's what shepherds are like. They're not thieves and robbers. They're good, right? They care for their sheep. And shepherds are trusted. Their sheep know their voice and listen and follow. And then we read in verse 6, after that very self-contained lesson, it says, this figure of speech, this metaphor, Jesus spoke, and they did not understand. I mentioned this earlier. It reminds me of Nicodemus. Nicodemus comes to Jesus and says, how do you inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, you must be born again. Short answer. He didn't get it. So then Jesus spends about 20 verses explaining what he means. He's trying to talk about something spiritual, something heavenly, and he's using earthly terms to do it. The same thing here. So when he realizes they didn't understand, he's going to take two more passes through kind of explaining out and going a little bit slower and giving a little more detail. So in verses 7 through 10, Jesus takes another pass about talking about the shepherd. I'm calling this elaboration or explanation number one. And he shifts. He was talking in third person. This is what a thief does. This is what a shepherd does. Now suddenly, he's talking about himself. So that's an important shift. He says, I am the door. You might have been expecting I am the shepherd. Not yet. There's a couple of things about this scenario I'm describing that you need to understand. One is, I'm the way you get to me, right? I'm the door. And he's going to say, I'm the shepherd. But to even come in the right way, to even get to the shepherd or to get to God the Father, you have to come through me. I'm the door. And then in the very next breath, he's going to say, and I'm the shepherd. But here's what I want to say about him claiming to be the door. It's just what's up there. He's quickly stepping out of the sheep and shepherd lesson, right? Because he not only claims to be the door, he starts talking about saving and then about eternal life and about abundant life. And that's just outside the little woolly creatures with the four legs, right? He's trying to make it clear, I'm talking, like he did with Nicodemus, I'm talking about spiritual things. So track with me, crowd. I'm the door. Here's what I mean by that. He says, I'm the door, and anyone who enters through me, if he was sticking with the illustration, he would say, you'd get to the sheep, or you'd get to the pen, or you'd get to the shepherd. But he says, I'm the door. If anyone comes through me, they'll be saved. The thief comes to kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. He's talking about something more than sheep. So that's elaboration number one. Elaboration number two starts with verse 11. And he says, and I'm the door and I am the good shepherd. He uses what they know of shepherds, but he's going to be talking about something even bigger. But he says, I, as the good shepherd, I lay down my life like a shepherd would for their flock. They would defend against wolves and bears and that sort of thing. I lay down my life for my followers, for my flock. He also goes on, if you skip down to the end of the passage in verse 27, he again starts talking about, and my sheep know my voice. So he's covered those two areas again, that he is good and that he is trusted. Right, they follow his voice, that he's not a thief, but he, in fact, would give his very life for his sheep. And then I ended with verse 30, which is where he makes this claim. Now, remember again, this is the backdrop to all of this, is Hebrew scripture, like Ezekiel, where God has said, your human leaders fail and fall short. In fact, some of them are bad shepherds, but I will be your shepherd, and I will send you one who will be the good shepherd, the true shepherd. And Ezekiel names David like the shepherd king David. So you still might think, if you were there that day listening to Jesus, okay, Rabbi, you're teaching about shepherd and sheep. We've heard that before. Yes, God is good. God provides. Wait a minute. You're saying you're a good shepherd? Like King David, you're that kind of shepherd. You are going to care for your flock and deliver us and save us and give us life and give us life abundant? And suddenly his teaching, and for those who think Jesus might just be a wandering rabbi, he doesn't accept that mantle. He steps up to the next level and he says, I am the one you're waiting for. I am what God has promised to you. And if all that isn't enough, he takes this final step in verse 30. And he not only has claimed to be the Messiah, the promised shepherd king, but now he takes the step and says, I and the Father are one. We're one and the same. We're one unit, one being, one person. Now, he's also talked about the Father giving to him. So there's that whole Trinity dynamic that's so hard to understand, that somehow they interact with each other and yet they're so close, they're one. If you ever wonder, did Jesus ever claim to be God? It's right there. I and the Father are one being, one substance. And immediately, verse 31, they want to stone him, because that's blasphemy, right? That this man from Nazareth would claim to be God, to be one with God. And that was the immediate response. But he is able to not be killed that day. So why do I highlight all that? Or what do we take from that? We talk about that in confirmation every week. What is the sermon about? And then how does that apply to my life? Well, what Jesus has walked us through in this chapter has been to tell us what God is like. God is like a shepherd. When you are lost, when you are hungry and thirsty for what will sustain you for real, when you are needing guidance, when you need to hear that voice of what will I do next? Or as the language from the 23rd Psalm, what is the path of righteousness? What should I do, God? God is like a shepherd. Jesus is like a shepherd who leads us. So we have to listen to his voice. That's the application. What do I do tomorrow when I wake up? Where am I supposed to go? What decision am I supposed to make between this and this? And will I seek God's guidance, God's word, God's voice into my life, you into your life, and the decisions and the relationships and the choices? Or perhaps, like in Psalm 23, there's not a decision to be made. You're just stuck in that valley of deep darkness, that night of the soul, that discouragement, that bad news, that stuck place. And God says, I'm there with you, that voice of the shepherd. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. I mean, the applications run the whole gauntlet, but the word, the good word from Jesus is, I am the good shepherd. I haven't come to kill or destroy, but to save you and to give you life, to feed you, to guide you, to protect you, all those things a shepherd does. And Jesus claims to be God himself. So I'd ask, what do you do with that? You can't read the story without taking Jesus at face value. He didn't present as merely a teacher. He taught amazing things, but he went beyond that. He claimed to be the Messiah, the one sent from God. And even beyond that, he claimed to be God. So what do you do with that? The whole point of this series that we've been in, this Come and See, is to hear Jesus' words, to take him on his own terms and respond. Do you hear his voice? Do you believe? Do you trust that good shepherd? Do you follow? Will you follow? I invite you this day again to come and see, come and believe, come and to follow. If he is true to what he taught, he is the shepherd that we need in all points of life, high and low, dark and light, lost and found. We need a shepherd. We need a good shepherd. It's been pointed out to me a couple times this morning. One of the confirmation students about halfway through the lesson said, is that where we get the name of our church? I was like, yes. And then one of our charter members on the way in said, Sunday school is great. We talked about this passage. And I remember we were trying to wrestle through what's the name of this church going to be. And this is a passage we looked at to help come up with that. I told the confirmation students we could have just been Jesus' church. But, you know, you have to come up with names. We follow Jesus. But the image that God has given to us to really sink into here at this church in this place is Jesus the Good Shepherd. And it's an image and a picture of what God is like and what God has done that runs the whole stretch of Scripture because it's true. So I invite you to see Jesus for who he is, to listen for that voice, and to follow where he leads you this week. Let's pray. God, help us to hear your voice. You say that your sheep will recognize and trust and follow you. Help us to hear and believe that you are indeed our good shepherd, that Jesus is the one you have sent to save us, to provide for us, to defend us, to provide what we need in this life and in eternity. And would you tune our ears to hear your word and your voice to us in the small and the big things of life. As we go forth from here, as we step into a new week, as we come to Thanksgiving and think about what we're thankful for, would you continue to whisper, to speak, perhaps even to shout your love for us over all that we do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.